You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to a midweek edition of Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet, and it is such a special, special edition. We back for the first time in such a long time in the beautiful Bison Report studios here in sunny, but as Trevor Gephardt would appreciate, crisp fall, Horace, North Dakota.
It's football weather.
It's Zach Willis, everybody.
I'm back.
Live and in studio.
Let's go.
The barbecue sauce king.
The most electric intro in the game, by the way. The Sweet Lovin' just gets the blood flowing every time.
I'm ready to record a podcast. There's no question about it. Shall we dive straight into the news?
Midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
I miss Jeff.
Miss you, Jeffrey.
Shouts to Bron.
That's so big time.
I know. So, fun fact, and this is just absurd. So, this is going to be a very short tangent. Our good friend and Bison Report photographer, Jake Stack, was kind enough to pick me up at the airport in Chicago. I was there for the Packers-Bears game. Super fun. Picks me up at the airport. I had tweeted out, like, hey, where should we go eat? So, these people suggested this burger joint. It was great. And we kind of were like deep in the heart of Chicago. So like, I've never seen Wrigley. Let's drive by Wrigley. So we drove by Wrigley.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? My wife would really get a kick out of a picture in front of the Home Alone house. Then we can go because we were staying with like somebody else. We're like, let's go to the Home Alone house. They just brought us, they being the navigation app, they just brought us along the river. So we drove through Loyola, Chicago.
Yeah.
And then we drove through Northwestern.
Sure.
And then we got to the Home Alone house. Like, it was a very cool, like, somewhat guided Chicago tour, but we drove right by Northwestern and like saw the campus and stuff. So like we were on Northwestern the day Bronny got his first dub. We didn't go to the game, but sure. But like, and I don't even know if they were at home because it seemed kind of quiet.
They were, and it was like their record lowest attendance, right. I think, but
that's still, why it seemed kind of quiet.
Yeah, but still, I mean, first of all, besides your disdain for the professional football team there, Chicago's a really cool city. I mean, you go from Wrigley through two college campuses.
So cool.
You're an hour away from South Bend, which is not in Chicago, but you're right. Still in that area. And Northwestern's facilities, they built it on like a cliff over Lake Michigan. It is so
very
sick.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Big time for Browning to get a win.
The food in Chicago.
Oh, dude.
Whew. And I love, look, I tweeted that, and obviously we have a big Packers following, so I got him like, drive into Wisconsin and get some real food. And by the way, I am not going to sit here and disparage Wisconsin cooking.
Yeah, we're with you.
I'm about it. But I consume that constantly.
Right. Oh, cheese curds and chicken strips?
Like, bro, we have a Culver's right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so what there is not, though, here is a Portillo's.
That's true. Whew. You've seen the light.
I got the, like, hot Italian beef thing.
Yeah. Dipped?
Dipped?
Yeah.
But then I picked it up. I'm like, how am I supposed to eat this?
Exactly.
it was absolutely ridiculous.
Dude, the best is they can do that for you and then throw a Polish sausage in it too. And it's like, I was born to be here. And then they stuff an entire slice of chocolate cake into a milkshake and hand that to you too.
Is it like
it feels like drugs.
Should I have done, like, is it a knife and fork situation?
No, usually it's wrapped in a certain way that you should be able to handle it.
Okay.
And it depends on one, how long it soaks, and two, the bread situation of like the structural integrity to pick it up and eat it. But
yeah, I did it. What I did was a lot of napkin situation. Yeah. I created sort of a floor.
I can like I picture what you did in my head. I've eaten enough times with you. I know what you did.
Oh man, NDSU gets out of this game with no injuries of note. That's great. You know, making it for the, through the first two games of non-conference without anybody getting dinged up. We do love that. Lots of folks heading to see Cody Mauch play in Minneapolis. And honestly, how cool is that? Like four, and I know, you know, when the schedule came out, like, oh man, they might get cracked. Like yeah. Tampa might, that's not like maybe a great matchup. And for Cody's first game to be a 3.5 hour drive from his hometown.
Right.
And for them to get the win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I have no love for the Minnesota Vikings, so we're not going to apologize for anything on here, but like right. That's very, very cool.
Yeah, and, you know, playing well. I mean, it's just Cody's one of those dudes that feels like the pressure never really gets to him. He's just Cody 100% of the time, and you saw that in the clip that the Bison Report account tweeted the other day where he's like still doing the bird flapping thing in the end zone after touchdowns.
What a weirdo.
Like, he is a weirdo, and he's just going to be a fan favorite in Tampa, and like you said, Tampa, who we kind of imagined was going to be in like a tanking situation
right. This
year,
yeah,
of the Caleb Williams, Drake May sweepstakes, and nope, Baker, man, he just went out and led him to a W out in U.S. Bank.
I'm going to say they maybe should be. Yeah, they maybe should be. We're not 100% sure that they're on the right path here, but very, very cool for Cody.
Here's the other question to pose: do the Vikings just stink?
It's possible. This is not that podcast, and you and I have a lot to get into. We're in a little bit of a time crunch.
I just like getting the folks riled up.
Yeah, but you know, we'll get there. I really, you know, from what I could see on TV, that opening ceremony deal for the Fargo PD, that seemed like it was classy and well done. Appreciate everybody involved in that, and certainly, you know, some emotional stuff, but it looked like a cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah, I liked the additional touch of the Fargo on the helmet, and then,
yeah, very cool.
Bringing the families out, and then it, like you said, it just seemed very emotional. Kind of maybe brought some life into the crowd that was there, and the players too showed a greater purpose of what they were playing for. So,
absolutely. A little bit of breaking news that we're so very excited about. Braden Thomas signing with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, everybody.
My guy's playing professional football. I love that. No matter where it is. Yeah.
You know, lots of pro Bison, it's like not in the league. Hey, you know, they have like lower level power five numbers of people in the league. It's okay to be excited about the guys still banging around in the USFL and the XFL and the Canadian League and stuff like that. Like, these are still young kids that you've supported for a long time, good kids, and guys that are literally getting paid to play a kid's game and doing something that they love. So very cool.
Yeah, and for me, guys I played with, I remember growing up, too, when it was like you could track pretty easily of the guys in the league. You know, it was Joe Mays, Ramon. You had Craig Dahl for a long time. Now it's like you have to rack your brain and go team by team to see who's still playing.
Yeah, so. I know. It's an impressive thing that they've built here. Very, very, very impressive. All right, folks, as we mentioned, today's episode of Bison Report is brought to you by the good folks over at Gateway Chevrolet, and I want to talk a little bit about their service department. We've talked so much about what they have going on in sales and the Laird Labor Day event a couple weeks ago, beautiful new Chevy trucks with thousands of dollars off, but I got to tell you, I've dealt with Dan and Mike and some of the nicer folks over at, well, they're all nice, but I've got good people that I deal with over at the service department. The Quick Lube will get you an oil change in, out, and on your way right away. But they do things the right way. You get a little app on your phone, like, yes, I want you to fix this. No, I don't want you to fix that. You can pay right there all on your phone. There's no surprises. They'll give you a quote. They'll do the work for the money that you already agreed to. And I know that sounds simple, but sometimes in that business, it's not. So right there on the I-29 frontage road, the good people at Gateway Chevrolet, not only do they have a phenomenal selection of new and used vehicles, but they have just the greatest service department as well. So I wanted to shout those guys out this week for sure. All right, Zach, let's talk a little bit of Maine. You and I both consumed this game via television.
Yeah.
Which is sort of odd for us for a home game, certainly. But those were the circumstances. And I think everybody just got a little bit frustrated right away with the inability to punch it in the red zone, especially after they were so efficient. And we pointed out so kind of creative in the red zone against EWU.
Yeah, I think it's something that is definitely reasonable to voice frustration with. You know, even being in those offensive prep rooms, you expect, you're talking Friday night, it's 100% red zone efficiency.
Yeah.
And field goals are great. You want to end every drive with a kick, obviously, but you want six every time you're within the 20. And it's, I think that's easier to fix than between the 20s. If you have problems there, those are harder to fix.
Sure.
I think it's easier to dial that stuff up and score against, like we're going to talk about, which was a good defense that Maine had.
Yeah, they were good. So if you guys get a chance, we've got a lot of fun VIP stuff, and we're going to have a little bit more this afternoon. We thought we were going to get the NFL thing out in the morning. It's probably going to be this afternoon, which is fine, but it's probably going to be this afternoon. Got a lot of great VIP things out in the film review, and I don't want to get into like really bagging on guys. That's, you know, we that's not really our role. We understand we can be critical, but when we're talking about Coach Roll, okay, and sort of him being a punching bag for the fan base or subsections of the fan base,
yeah,
Cam. They call a perfect play. They call an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And Cam puts it right where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets dropped. And guess what? Stuff gets dropped.
Yeah.
There's a guy playing for the Green Bay Packers. Where's number 9? He drops stuff.
Yeah.
We're not bagging on Braylon.
No.
But understand that coach called the touchdown.
Yeah, that's – I've always had that justification. They're not calling stuff for it to not work. There's a justification, a rationale behind every play call, and it does come down to execution. And guess what? Sometimes the defense beats you.
But the defense, and the point I'm trying to make is the defense didn't. He dialed up the touchdown.
That's the execution part.
And it's the same thing on the reverse to Raja.
Yeah.
A lot of the times on a reverse or on an outside run, if you can get in a situation where you have two defenders, two blockers, and a runner, you're doing backflips because the runner doesn't have to beat anyone.
Right. He's not defended.
On that reverse, they had three blockers against two defenders and two probably what we think are potentially all-conference linemen just whiffed.
Yeah.
They just missed.
Yeah.
And Jalen and Westy are great, great players.
Those guys I feel comfortable making fun of.
But, like, did Tyler Roll not call a touchdown?
Right.
He did.
It was a touchdown.
They got 11 yards, mm-hmm. which is great, but Tyler Roll called the touchdown.
Right.
Got to execute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, look, there are, and coach misses on stuff too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody's perfect, but those are just kind of some of the things where it's like, okay, if you're going to get frustrated when they run up the middle and don't get it on 3rd and 3, instead of, you know, throwing it on a down like that, then how about a little bit of grace when they dial up two beautiful, creative touchdowns and the players don't execute? How about a little bit of grace?
Yeah. And that's, it's, I've had this conversation a lot, obviously, for people who follow me on Twitter. But
if you didn't think I was going to get Zach Willis in here to play the hits, you were wrong. Yeah. We're going to play the hits.
Running back, baby.
Yeah.
It's just, it was a slow start. I think that's safe to say against Maine. But, you know, what really makes a coordinator is how they turn it up in the second half and what happens at halftime. And I think fans kind of overestimate what does happen at halftime. A lot of it is, you know, you're watching Cordell Volson puke, and then you talk about, like, some blocks some blocks we missed. But a lot of it is more for the coordinators to say, hey, we're not calling this scheme of plays because they shut it down. They're game planning just as much as we are, too. And, you know, that slow start, some stuff probably came off the play calling sheet, I imagine, as we went in and scored what they – final tally end up being 41?
44-7.
44-7. You know, that's a lot of points in the second half for what you'd consider a slow start. So, especially against Eastern Washington, I thought we were really crisp for the first game. And now watching Maine get to turn it up. And obviously you want to eliminate the first four drives that are slow and stalling in the red zone. But I've been really happy with Coach Roll's offense right now.
For sure. We got to pick up the pace here. We cannot do our normal 55-minute pod. Like, it's great to see you, and I'm very much enjoying doing this, but we do have some time constraints here. Clean. I'm going to use the word clean.
Yeah.
For both defense and offense. No turnovers in two games, and I thought the defense was really good. I'm going to look up the actual number. So I know for a fact that the starters missed six tackles against Eastern Washington. The team missed eight, but two of them were in what, you know, the backups were in. I'm not, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be mean, but I'm just going to say that it was not a player who normally starts and contributes on defense that missed two of those tackles. Right. Against Maine, they were quite clean again defensively. Everybody's talking about missed tackles, missed tackles, missed tackles. They missed nine tackles against Maine. And I'm looking at one, two of them that didn't come from a starter, too. Sure. So, again, the starters, the guys that will play when the lights are on bright, mm-hmm. missed seven tackles.
You can definitely see it was an emphasis in the offseason this year. I mean, what, we missed like 14 against Drake?
There were games, yeah. And there were games last year where they had, you know, legitimately like double digit, like high. Like, I remember a 16 missed tackle game.
Yeah.
I remember it. In the national championship, they missed 11, which is actually a lower number than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because they legitimately like weren't getting there to miss a tackle, but we're not gonna. We do that. This is
jeez,
not
just hoping.
That, yeah, this is not that. You know,
sorry, listener, he had to relive that right now, but it is encouraging to see not only the tackling and stuff like that. It's great that that's being cleaned up, but the lack of penalties has been really encouraging. Just the mental stuff where, you know, we always talked about we'll take the. You know, the late hit or, you know, a face, you're making an execution penalty. The procedural stuff is where coaches really start to get upset.
Right.
And it feels like there's been less of that than there was last year. And I tweeted it out. It feels like this defense has some stuff to them again. Like they're playing with juice and having fun, which is really encouraging for me to see.
Yeah, I agree. I think the physicality is certainly something that you notice. You know, it's stark, it's different. Yeah. They are hitting,
there's six hats on the ball every time.
That's really what I've noticed is NDSU has often talked about how much they rally to the football, and I have really, really, really noticed that.
Yeah.
That they have done a great job rallying to the football. One tweet that we put out on Bison Report that I thought was really interesting. Maine played the Sun Belt, so FBS, Florida International. Florida International rushed it 24 times. They got 13 yards for a half a yard per carry and no touchdowns. NDSU ran it 47 times for 5.6 a carry and five touchdowns. And I think, and look, I don't expect to see Florida International in a bowl game. I don't expect to see Florida International do much this year.
Yeah.
But it's still an FBS school pulling talent from Florida.
Yeah.
Maybe these kids can't block, but I know they can run. I mean, that's how many times has NDSU gone to Florida to get skill kids?
Right.
Whoever's playing at Florida International is good.
They're a Division I FBS athlete.
100%. Yeah. And so for FIU to struggle that much to run the ball and for NDSU to not struggle should show you just kind of where these guys are at in the run game.
You would take 5.6 a pop versus any defense. If we were playing MSUM, you're happy with that. So
right.
To see that against a team that did shut down an FBS school, man, like it's just that context thing that we talk about, and it was encouraging. I mean, it feels like Bison ball's back a little bit. Everybody's having fun celebrating after the plays. You know, you see Kuba's burying people 20 yards downfield. It's just like, all right, the Bison are back a little bit, and that's been good for me to see. And, you know, obviously UCA, which we'll preview a little bit, got a little bit more studs on the defense than our first two opponents, but going into conference schedule, Missouri Valley football, I feel really, really encouraged about where we're at.
I do too. I do too. I think they're still very explosive. Sometimes it's frustrating, but they scored 79 points in two games. Okay, right. I think they've punted five times. Was another stat that I tweeted out. Like they are explosive right now.
More touchdowns than punts is good.
Yes,
you like that stat.
We knew these players were good, but they seem to be fully healthy and sort of fully weaponized. Cole Wisniewski, man, and Eli Mostart are just on a different level. And it's sort of like, I think local media has talked about this. We've talked about this a little bit. If you're going to get over the hump against South Dakota State, which is basically, I mean, what this whole season's about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think everybody feels like NDSU is the second best team in the country, and they need to try to find a way to be the first.
Yeah.
You need to have guys play like super duper stars. They can't just be good. They need to develop and take that next step. Eli and Cole are playing like super duper stars right now, like best players at their position in the country right now, super duper stars.
Yeah, and I'm not as familiar with obviously defensive back play as I am in the trenches. And when I see Eli play, man, he's doing stuff that not a lot of D tackles at NDSU have done as far as like in the passing game. You see him blocking the punt against or the field goal against Eastern Washington. Like he's truly taking over football games.
Yes.
Stout in the run as he always has been. But like I said, like he's doing level 300 football stuff where like stuff you have to get permission to do. And he's doing it and executing it at a very high level. And it's been really exciting to see because like you said, he's one of the best three techs in the country.
It's really fun to watch. Special teams has been clean. One thing I do want to talk about, the defensive backfield, the snaps, that Sam Young, Cole, Jaden Price, and Marcus Shepard are playing are a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. And look, I mean, I remember, you know, I think it was Duds, Heegs, CJ Smith, and Marcus just never came off the field.
Just let those guys go.
Like literally, yeah. You know what I mean? And there have been times where, like, I mean, shoot, Dawson and Tut didn't come off the field either, mm-hmm. really, right? So, but last year we saw a heavy rotation at corner. Yeah. A ton of guys played.
Yeah.
And now there just isn't one. That's interesting to me.
Honestly, obviously you'd like to have multiple starter level guys in right. one position group at one time. But seeing two guys out there and they have their matchups the entire game, I like that versus a rotation. They seem like they have a little bit of flow. Some more cohesiveness with their safeties back there. But like you're talking about, who is the third or fourth guy in case somebody goes down right. and is going to step up and play?
Or if, God forbid, they run a sub package.
Right.
I love Julian Odarczyk. I have seen enough of him trying to cover slot receivers on third and long.
Right.
Like, it's just...
Not everybody's Jabril.
Hello?
Yeah.
Or Jasir, for that matter.
Right.
Like, to be honest.
Right.
And Julian was awesome, by the way, on Saturday. And I'm not dumping on him, but it's like
he had like 10 tackles in the first half. It's just he serves a purpose on the field.
Yeah, and it's 2023. It's okay to play with five defensive backs every once in a while.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that. Sorry, coach. All right. This episode of Bison Report Radio also brought to you by the wonderful people, and by people I mean this guy sitting right here at Big Deck Barbecue. Check out the amazing green and yellow selection of hoodies. Got one for me, got one for my wife, got one for my dad. He didn't even realize it was his, so he just left the house without it. I'm gonna try and fix that later today. But you can find that stuff on their website, on their social media. You can use promo code Bison Report for 0% off.
Yep.
What else you got going on at Big Deck?
We actually just moved in our own facility, too. So
that's
big news for us. We're at 1732nd Avenue South down by Woody's off of University. Come say hello. We're going to do a big open house here soon. Follow all of our socials. You'll be able to see when that's happening. But happy to be in our own spot and would be happy to say hello if you swing by.
Come hell or high water, I will find a way to be at that event. Okay, on to UCA. What do you think the crowd's going to look like? I was talking about this with my mom because we have some tickets and stuff. And she's like, wow, we have, you know, one ticket down here, but four down here. But if you're going to invite a group, I don't know if they're all going to be able to sit together. I'm like, whoo. The opener was in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
The second opener was at home and has already happened. And they did the FPD thing and they, you know, I think got, close to 16,000 fans.
Yeah.
But Central Arkansas is not a brand that is going to draw, I don't think. And I don't think there's going to be 9,000 people there, but I think it could be light.
Yeah, I would put it around the same number as the opener.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I just think we've seen UCA, and it's obviously a couple years ago when we did the Trey Lance showcase that fall.
Shout out, Trey.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe it's a if you know kind of brand that they are a hard-nosed team and could pose a little bit of difficulty, but I hope there's at least 16,000 in there. But I mean, 23 at US Bank was encouraging. 16,000 was encouraging last week. So hope we can keep that thing rolling.
Well, guys, if you're able to go to the game, go to the game. I mean, that's why the guys play. Obviously they love the game, but being able to play in front of crowds like that is why these guys do it.
Yeah.
Getting off to a fast start, I think, is going to be key. You know, we'll talk about it. I'll just say it now. They're only 19-point favorites, and I know you can only 19-point favorites, but they were heavier favorites than that against EWU. They were heavy favorites against Maine.
Yep.
This should at least be a competitive game for three quarters, right? So that's kind of where everyone is with their predictions for this game is that, like, yeah, it would be super shocking for NDSU to drop it, but you're not going to see the third stringers with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
It's probably not a Butler, NCA&T
right.
blowout level
yep.
thing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Kylan James at running back is a player to watch for UCA on offense, and they've got some dudes up front. I really like the play of David Walker, a defensive end, and Jay Spinash. It's I think sort of similar to the way that Maine was put together defensively, yeah. where the dudes were in the front seven and they were gettable in the back end. And it's not like NDSU threw all over them, mm-hmm. but you saw what happened when Cole Payton got into the secondary.
Right.
So if you can run to the outside with whomever, it can sort of be just as effective as throwing it when those DBs don't want none.
Yeah, it's getting 11 one way or another.
Right.
And I think just the way they're set up is almost Southern Illinois-ish, Missouri State, where they kind of have that identity to their defense. They're going to play hard-nosed. They're a tough team, no matter what kind of dogs they have on that side of the field. But they do, like you mentioned, have some studs in the front seven of that defense. So, but, you know, I'm all for an air show. If we can go play Star Wars and hit these 45, 50-yard bombs, I'm cool with that too.
Yes. Cam is playing very well. Cole is playing very well. And that's the next thing I wanted to kind of – how do you handle the Peyton Miller split? Because to me it felt like heavy Cam early.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he got dinged up or they just felt the game was whatever, but then you saw Cole. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily feel like Cole was sprinkled into the game plan, and maybe it was just like, okay, in the third series we're going to bring out this stuff because I'm sure they script it to that level. How would you like to see the Cam Cole split kind of be worked out against UCA? Let's say this. If it is competitive for three and a half quarters, how mm-hmm. would you like to see that split go?
Well, just personally, I think Cam has earned the right to play majority of the snaps. I think he's been good enough and obviously carried us to a national championship against Montana State or led us that way. And then
right.
Has played well throughout, and he's playing at his highest level right now
yes.
So far in his career. So I think he's earned a majority of the snaps. But like we texted in the group chat, the Ferrari's in the garage.
Oh, my God.
We need to see that a little bit. I would like to see Cole throw the ball, honestly, against some live bullets, really see what he can do. He came out in that press conference and he said, yes, I can throw the football. but, you know, if he's running 70-yard house calls every time he touches the football, let's keep doing that too.
I mean, we've seen Chris Streveler, and this is going to sound just out of pocket, but I think I said this in the chat. What if Cole Payton is the best offensive player in the country?
He might be. I like the Streveler comp.
I mean,
Streveler was the best college football player I saw that didn't wear green and gold.
So, yeah, I'm being so blasphemous right now. But like, I saw him do stuff to that secondary that I just have not seen. You made the Trey Lance comp. It's like, okay, but he's an inch and a half taller and 25 pounds heavier than
right.
Trey. Like, he's like a horse. I cover the Packers. I keep calling their tight end who fell down at the 4-yard line a deer because he's like he's too long but he can run like a deer. Cole Payton is like watching these guys trying to tackle. Like
it looks like a football scene in a movie.
It's insane.
Like they're just falling around him.
He's like trying to tackle Seabiscuit. Like yeah. I don't even understand.
It's 4-yard strides. It's perfectly coordinated. The guy could probably go run track at 2:30 right now. He's an absolute freak show. And
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like sometimes we
But how long can you keep the Ferrari in right. the garage without not using Cam, which you should definitely use Cam?
Yeah, it's the old like cliche. You have
these are champagne problems.
You have two quarterbacks, you have none. We are not that's we have two very good quarterbacks.
We actually have two quarterbacks, yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. What do you want to see on offense?
Clean execution. I like the physicality I've seen so far. And those guys in the front seven, if we get over 250 yards rushing, I think that'll be a really good accomplishment.
What do you want to see on defense?
Same lack of penalties. I like the cohesion and some more turnovers. I'm always good with turnovers. Wisniewski has three picks in two games, but it's always cool seeing him, Logan Kopp, and Marcus Shepard, I saw dinging himself on Twitter for falling on that fumble recovery. But
he tripped over his own guy.
Yeah, you know, like turning those into points is big for Big O and Code Green. So more of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I think the fast start is what I put at the very top of this thing, and that's what I'd like to see. You know, mostly because it makes it easier for me on the internet. I don't have to deal with people that get frustrated. No, it's important. It's a big deal. Start fast on offense. Start fast on defense. Give me that score prediction, Mr. Willis.
38-7.
All right, I'm going to give Central Arkansas a little bit more love than that. I've got Bison 35, Central Arkansas 14. Thanks to Big Deck Barbecue. Thanks to Zach Willis. Thanks to the good folks at Gateway Chevrolet. And thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a great weekend, and go Bison.